Alrighty, let's turn to Job 39 and to Proverbs 29 as well. We'll start with Proverbs 29. Job 39, Proverbs 29. One verse in Proverbs 29, verse 15. It'll be the main passage for the evening. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Now with that in mind, Job 39. Let's start reading with verse 13. Gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks, or wings and feathers unto the ostrich, which leaveth her eggs in the earth and warmeth them in dust, and forgetteth that the foot may crush them or that the wild beast may break them? She is hardened against her young ones as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear, because God hath deprived her of wisdom, neither hath he imparted to her understanding. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we come to you once again tonight and beseech you once again to speak to us. Lord, I've prepared this message, and you may have something different to say to somebody here, and we hope that you would do so. Father, that's the way preaching works sometimes, and we ask that you might just bless this. Father, I found it to be true, and I know that there's a danger here that needs to be faced by us all, and I pray that you might just please bless and give us liberty to speak tonight and understanding in what you're trying to say. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, talking about the ostrich, you might get the idea that an ostrich is not exactly the sharpest knife in the drawer. She lays her eggs in the dust, and then the Bible says her heart is hardened against them. She doesn't even understand that here she is, a 300-pound bird with these big old gnarly feet walking around, and any one of her feet can ruin her nest and her eggs and all those sort of things. Like I said, she's that's okay, though, because down in verse 17, the reason she's that way is because God made her that way. You never heard anybody say that an ostrich was smart. May have said a Labrador was smart. I think they probably wrong about that, Labrador retriever. A German Shepherd maybe, smart, but not an ostrich. Now, with that in mind, she leaves those eggs in the ground, and she leaves them to themselves. An Atlantic cod is the same way. They say the average female Atlantic cod basically has 8 egg batches a season. So every year, 8 egg batches. And she may lay as many as 9 million eggs in that season. Sea turtle makes anywhere from 2 to 8 nests per season, per reproductive season. And any one of those nests may have 100 plus eggs per nest. Now, in all those things, both those cod and just like the ostrich and the sea turtles, the eggs are left for the cod floating in vast clouds of eggs, you know, in the Atlantic Ocean, and they're left to themselves. And, of course, a lot of them get eaten, and so they provide food for the rest of the food chain and all those sort of things. That's okay, because there's plenty of cod in the sea, as far as I know. And for that matter, there's plenty of turtles as well. Turtle leaves those babies and those eggs in a nest. And if you've watched National Geographic or public TV or something, you probably know that most of those little turtles, by the time they get into the surf, if they get that far, they wind up eaten by something bigger. But, you know, there's probably plenty of sea turtles too, so I don't care. They just need to stay away from plastic straws. We learned that. Of course, I know how a plastic straw might kill a 300-pound sea turtle. Anyway, now, it crossed my mind to say with this and here, having said those things, that if it's true that we evolved from them, why do we care about our kids? But that's really what I want to talk about here tonight. In Proverbs chapter 29, there's a strong verse there with a real strong phrase in it. It says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Like I said, the ostrich and the Atlantic cod and the sea turtle leave their eggs and their young to themselves to make it through if they can, and if they don't, well, they just don't. And I realize that, you know, where we live today, the fact is, in this generation that we live in, you can't presume that everybody gets it, so you just kind of have to say it. Folks today, the Bible warns, are without natural affection. And so sometimes even the maternal and paternal instincts are completely screwed up in people. The other thing that's involved is basic brainwashing and perversion. You have young people, young adults now, that have been reared in public schools entirely on the public dole, and they've been fed more nonsense than ought to be absorbed in a lifetime. The other thing involved is seducing spirits. We've studied those a lot in 1 Timothy 4 for several weeks now. And so y'all are familiar with that. Bottom line is, we are suffering generationally from moral and spiritual bankruptcy in an awful lot of people in the most advanced country on earth, the good old United States of America. So you can't you can't just presume everybody knows. So I'll say this outright: you cannot leave a child to himself. You can't leave a child to himself. You just can't. They're not self-regulating. It just doesn't work that way. They're not self-maintenancing. Some folks, of course, understand that in a material, physical sense, but then have no idea whatsoever of how that might fit morally and spiritually. I was talking to somebody this morning who brought it up, not knowing that I was going to preach this, but and they said that they've been wrestling with something in their neighborhood where they send their kids to school, because every day there's a loose kid, not one of theirs, that gets off the bus and proceeds to wander around for about 2 hours until his mother finally gets around to picking him up. And so he's at a playground, he's in somebody's house, he's here, he's there. The other day it was real cold, and they said that he had a sweater on. That's it. And they've talked to the mother, and they've talked to the cops, and it's probably going to get worse from there. But there's somebody who just leaves the kid to himself. Right? Now, I will say this. There are probably very few generations that have been so left to themselves as today. It says, a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. Left to himself. Back in the 80s and 90s, the watchword was latchkey kids. And following up after the women's rights movement, and everybody went back to work to become a professional and all those sort of things, and you have a fatherless generation, and essentially in many cases a motherless generation as well. Between work and school and all the other things that folks have going on in their lives, the other societal factors, single parent homes, and I know that there are single parents that have fought through this here. The fact of the matter is that today there's chillingly little parental influence in children's lives. And it's not good. More and more parents have no memory whatsoever of anything that even resembled a normal nuclear family based around a father and a mother and brothers and sisters. They're raised by, might as well have been raised by wolves like Tarzan. Might be better behaved too. But it's just true. You have clueless mamas and daddies that are raising clueless children. And if the blind lead the blind, well, they both shall fall in the ditch. Amen? So you have these folks that figured out how to have babies, but they didn't figure out how to be a mama and a daddy. And so they're intimidated by everything. They don't know what to do when the kid turns 2 and gets weird. They don't know what to do when the kid turns 11 and it gets a little weird again. And they certainly don't know what to do when they're 13, 14, 16, when they get real weird. So they've turned them over to, for a while, you know, just TV. And of course, the TV became then computer. And then the computer became all these other things that it is. And then it became a cell phone and all those things. So now, you know, the parents have totally abdicated their responsibilities. And you have kids that are really, truly left to themselves. And I'd like to preach to you about that for a little while tonight. It's just a title. The title is Left to Himself. The text says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. There, for a while back earlier in our church life, we had about 45 kids running around here, and sometimes it seems like there's 99 running around here right now. I know there's not that many, but a lot of those kids that were running around have grown up and have their own now, and I like them and all those things, but I'll tell you this, you can't leave them to themselves, okay? My wife and I have reared 4, and they're all weird, but I can tell you this, you can't leave them to themselves. I've also been saved for 48 years, and I'll tell you this, God doesn't leave His kids to themselves. And so you have this thing here, there's kind of a double application tonight. You're going to get a little child training, and then you're going to get some spiritual preaching, I hope, along the lines of the being a child of God. But the title is Left to Himself. And in Laodicea, spiritually, there's probably not many things stronger than the modern Christian's desire to be left alone. When God gets too intrusive, when the preacher gets in his face or under his skin, he walks out mad and wants to be left alone. And I know that kids go through those phases. Sometimes when they're 4 or 5, they get a little independent streak and they think they can do without mom and dad for a while. Of course, they learn different. By the time a kid, a boy turns 11, he thinks he starts stretching his wings a little bit. And of course, the teenage years are just strange. Anyway, and so at various times, that whole thing about desiring to be left alone is very real. It's very real in Laodicea. Now, I'll address this in several ways. First of all, let me just say there are some considerations. One of the considerations in knowing that you cannot leave a child to himself, Proverbs 29:15, is first of all safety. It's just not safe. Now, you know, I know that a little baby isn't, a newborn is not mobile, and so as long as he or she is sleeping fine and all those things, a mom can get a nap for maybe a couple hours or something. That's a good thing. That's a blessing. But as far as leaving a baby to himself for hour after hour on end and for days on end, it's not good. Right? By the time a kid starts crawling around and then starts pulling up and toddling a little bit, you know, there are just shelves with stuff on it that are not good for a kid to get into. And left to himself for hours on end, he'll get into it. There's hot stuff and heavy stuff to pull off of shelves and off of high places. There are cabinets to get into with juices that ought not be drunk. And what I'm saying is, no responsible mother or father would consider leaving their crawler, crumb cruncher / toddler alone for 4 or 5 hours unsupervised. If they're quiet in their room, you go stick your head in probably once an hour, if not more. If you can get a nap out of it, that's a cool thing, but it's not safe to leave them alone. And a kid grows up to be 9 or 10, something like that. Something happened at Olson's cabin. Went on vacation one time, and I think that was the summer, by the way, that Abel was back. So it would have been in the summer of 2001. So we're out there. Kids are out in the lake. The boys are all out in the lake. And me and Marcy are up near the shore doing old people things. You know. And there's a floating platform out there, diving platform out there with, you know, with barrels and stuff. And it's just out beyond the depth of Daniel's head. And Daniel's not swimming yet. And so I looked up, and I see the strange scene. I see Daniel out near the pontoon platform, and he's coming up once every 2 seconds. And he's going, he bounces up with his head above water and goes, "Hey! Hey! Hey!" He's gotten too deep. And so he's hopping off the bottom, you know, and you know, he's got this far over his head, so he's popping up and shouting, "Hey, help!" and then going back under. So, you know, I was 300 yards away. It took a while to get there. No, I'm kidding. What's wrong with him today? But you wouldn't consider leaving three boys, you know, of that age out in a lake unsupervised. It's not safe. You certainly shouldn't consider leaving teenagers to themselves for hours and hours on end unsupervised. It's not safe. It's not safe. Now, Christians, it's not safe to be left to oneself. Now, I'm drawing a distinction here between going somewhere to be alone, to pray or fast or read or study or think or something like that, versus being left to yourself. There's a difference. And it is a Christian. Now, a parent should have the sense to know that his or her kid should not be left to themselves perpetually. Now, it turns a little opposite. I realize God can come get you. He went and got the prodigal son. He went and retrieved David. I get that. But frankly, in the Christian life, it's your responsibility to come out from yourself and come out to church and to come out with the brethren and not be left to yourself. Fine, pray. Fine, go find a quiet place to study and so, and all those sort of things. For you to be drawn, to draw yourself off and be left to yourself, it's not safe. Did you ever wonder about that Eve thing? I don't know all that went on there, but I know that the devil talked to her when Adam wasn't around. Now, it's not safe to be left to oneself. There's a difference between that and being alone for a while. You understand? Being left to oneself, I've seen way too many Christians that draw off. They're bitter, they're resentful, they're mad, they're upset about something or other, and they go off and retreat away alone to be left to themselves. And what comes out of that is almost never good. I get alarmed when start trying to call folks that dropped out of church and they don't answer. Because something more is going on than, "I just want to be left alone for a day. I just want to be alone to fast and pray and meditate," you know. That's not what you're doing. That's not what you're doing. You're going away to be left to yourself. And usually there's company that shows up when you're left to yourself. You know, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion. Seeketh whom he may devour." So as far as considerations are concerned, the first thing is safety. And you wouldn't leave your kids to themselves, unsupervised, unaided, and not able to call upon you. You wouldn't do that if you have any sense. And at the same time, it is a Christian's responsibility to stay reachable so you don't draw off all by yourself where nobody can reach you. You're left to yourself. There's another consideration with regard to that besides safety. It's the nature of the child. The nature of the child is sinful. That's something that goes against the grain these days. If you went to the average psychologist, they wouldn't say that a child was sinful. But a child is sinful. And left to themselves, the sin will come out. Now, I understand that evil communications corrupt good manners. We worry about the kids' friends and bad influences and all those things. Those things are true enough. But I was a kid once, too, and I tell you what I've learned. I learned that a kid can discover quite a lot by himself. A lot of times it's true that a bad friend shows him something that he ought not show him. That's true enough. But I spent enough time alone, my own self, that I learned that I can learn some things on my own that I ought not learn. The guy in the mirror is always your worst enemy, even if he's only 2 years old. You say, what's the point? A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You can't leave your kids to themselves. When they're three and it turns ugly because they got the terrible threes or the horrible threes or the turgid threes or whatever those threes are, you can't leave them alone. You can't leave them to themselves. They'll still be acting like that when they're 33 if you leave them at three. It's true. It's true. You can't leave them when a boy starts exercising his independence at 11. You can't leave him to himself. When a teenager insists that he has his own room, his own computer, his own phone, his own car, and his own TV, the answer is no. Because it's not good to be left to yourself. And to allow, you know, whatever is the case, my mom and dad were, I don't think they had any of kind of the background that most of all of us have here from biblical instruction on raising kids and stuff. Whatever was the case, they were hard workers and stuff, and us kids were never allowed, I mean, we were allowed to go off and read for hours at a time if we wanted to read, something like that, and when they got tired of us being in the house, they'd go kick us outside and make us stay until supper time. But we were never allowed to go to our rooms and lock our parents out. And by the way, they could come to our room anytime and they would not even knock. They would just open the door and stick their head in and say, "Hey, what are you doing?" You say, "What's the point?" Can't be left to themselves. It's not. They're not. They're sinners. They're sinners. Us adult Christians have had influences that those little kids haven't had, and so when you pull off and you're left to yourself, you got plenty of old memories to, you know, scrunge up from the bottom. You probably have some of those old hurts and old thoughts and old imaginations, old remembrances, old regrets and longings and resentments and indignations. And I tell you what you better do. You better not go off the lone wolf and insist to be left to yourself. You need to come out. You need to come out to church, get your can off the couch, get out of your underwear, get into some decent clothes, and come and walk in the light where you can get some preaching and where you're responsible to answer to some of the brethren for a testimony, because being left to yourself is not a good thing. Even in a grown adult child of God, you need to bring it to the light. It says there that the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. One of the considerations is safety. One of the considerations is the nature of the child. The child is sinful. Your sweet little thing is sinful. And they lie as soon as they come out of the womb because they ain't hurting. There's nothing wrong. But they cry like there is, and then you pick them up and they go goo goo ga ga. They're a liar. They're manipulating you from the start. They don't know they are. They don't think, "Oh, I'm going to manipulate mother now." They don't think that. It's natural to do. I want to say that another consideration is that they will not learn what they should by themselves. A kid left to himself, a six-year-old boy left to himself. Will he learn manners alone? No. Will he learn respect? Will he learn to work? Will he learn to be honest? Will he learn standard courtesy? Will he learn history? Will he learn addition, subtraction, long division, and algebra? That's the point, is that a child left to himself, there's some stuff he ain't going to learn. Will he learn good sense? Without a father or a mother to teach him, will he learn reasonable judgment? Will he learn accountability? By the same token, by himself, a Christian will not learn doctrine. Not right doctrine. Not balanced doctrine. A Christian will not learn judgment by himself. A Christian will not learn prudence by himself. Or discretion by himself. Wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. The Christian needs to get out of bed, come and meet with the brethren and learn the Bible and see some good examples, learn to get along with people, learn to know what to do with conviction when it hits, to hear God speak to him in a group of people that a preacher is preaching to and peeling the skin off people's faces. A child of God needs not be left to himself. He shouldn't be. It's dangerous. Because of his nature, there are things that he will remain ignorant of. And in fact, there'll come a day that he will not even want to learn them. Will a child learn character or maturity or wisdom or self-discipline by himself? No. He's going to be a narcissistic little dweeb. He's going to be like a Hollywood star. He's going to be like a rock star. It's all going to be about him, right? A Christian will not learn character left himself. And believe it or not, the Lord wants to teach you some things about character. And it's going to take coming to the light and walking in the light as he is in the light and being convicted and rubbing shoulders with people and seeing some people fail and learning from their failures and also seeing some people succeed and learn from their successes. But a Christian will not learn character left to himself. He will not learn maturity. He will not learn selflessness. He will not learn sacrifice. He will not learn service. He will not learn self-discipline. Not left to himself. It's no fun learning that stuff. And so unless you come to the light and consistently come and sit, you won't learn it. Will a Christian learn moderation on his own? Will he learn discretion on his own? Left to himself, he will become his own god. Small g. He'll become a narcissist. He'll become self-consumed with his own lusts and dreams and ambitions. Bible says a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. The difference is a decent parent goes to the kid and makes them do something. And I want to say that God can do that. The Lord has some tools. He has a small switch, a big switch, a 2x4, a 4x4, and then he moves right up to the piano dropped from 3 stories. There's a few rides in the hospital in an ambulance that the Lord can use if he wants to. But the point of the fact is, while the Lord will occasionally and will come after you under those circumstances, the fact is he expects for you to get your rear end out of bed and get some clothes on and come and not forsake the assembling of yourselves together and learn something in church and learn something from other brethren and other sisters that are going through stuff. And once in a while, you're going to get it straight in the face. You're going to get a rebuke. You're going to get a slap. Sometimes the preacher is going to peel the skin off your face. And it's good for you. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Amen? I'd like to say, secondly, we talked about the consideration. I'd like to say something about the correction, the chastisement. There in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15, it says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Frank, you can go ahead and cut that off for done, Frank. So it's the correction. It's the chastisement. Now, the parent takes the correction to the child. When the child misbehaves, a decent parent goes and confronts the situation and deals with it. Now, it's a little different. Like I said, the Lord has His ways, and He went after the prodigal. And don't, you know, tempt the Lord, because the Lord went after Saul and got him. And the Lord taught David some harsh lessons, amen? And so some of us have had harsh lessons when the Lord decided to pull out the 2x4, right? But at the same time, you have to realize that it is your responsibility to come to the light and walk in the light as He's in the light. It is your responsibility to come to a place where you can be continuously corrected and where the chastening, for the most part, is just words. Now, you need to stop and think about that. The preaching of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And preaching itself is the power of God. And the worst treatment that you ever got at Blessed Hope Baptist Church was largely words. Now, if Mrs. So-and-so kicked you in the shin or something like that, I'm sorry. But I'm not the sheriff. So, but for the main part, the worst you ever got at Blessed Hope Baptist Church was your face skinned by preaching. And you have to admit, as compared to an ambulance ride, that's pretty light stuff. As compared to an expense down at the funeral home because of your misbehavior, you know, getting it in the face at church is not too bad a deal. Right? The consideration, the correction. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You're not to allow yourself to be, sounds weird, left to yourself. There are many Christians, I could take you to doorsteps, I can take you to a lot of shattered friendships now of folks that pulled out, pulled off, went off by themselves, did the lone wolf thing, and there they stewed in their resentments. They made up stuff. They lied in their own hearts and minds so long that they probably believe the lies at this point. And you know what they're good for? Absolutely nothing. They were left to themselves. And you say, did God go after them? Well, in a couple of cases, I'm sure He did. But by that time, they weren't looking for the Lord's hand, and they weren't listening. And they got this disease, that disease, and sometimes they had to go to the funeral home, and sometimes they had that ambulance ride to the hospital. But they weren't listening anymore. And they could have avoided all that by coming here on a regular basis and not allowing themselves to be pulled off away from the herd so that the devil could work on them from the side. Because that's where he shows up. If he's a lion, he's not always coming at you to your face. He's always sneaking around the edges looking for somebody that's an easy kill. Say, what's the point? Well, there's the considerations. We talked about safety and some other things. Then there's the correction. And it says there, once again, in verse 15, it says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." I'd like to say there's something I understand in the verse, and that's the consistency. When somebody asks me what I think the key to raising kids is, and There's no guarantees or anything like that, but I'll tell you what ranks up there real high. Consistency. If there's one thing about raising kids, the consistency needs to be there. If it's no, then it needs to stay no. And if, you know, where you become like the mother at Walmart who is constantly saying no to the kids, but the tone of the no is no, that immediately communicates helplessness. No, the answer is no. And if you argue with me, we're going to go fix this. You say, well, yeah, there's all kinds of ramifications about fixing that. Yeah, there is. It's a dicey day. Daddy used to be able to just go take his belt off and wear me out. And I know you can't do that anymore. I know you got to be careful. I know you got to be discreet. Some of you live in apartments. So how you minister to your children is a concern. I know it's true. Okay? Most of you live in city-fied neighborhoods, and so how you and the kid goes to school and gets a shot or, gets seen in the gym, when he's changing clothes or something. I understand. And there's considerations, but they can't be left to themselves. And if you want to know what to do, is be consistent. Like I said earlier, I know they don't think it through in their mind because it's not like their thinking strategy, but they test you all the time. When they're two, when they're younger, and then when they're three, and then it gets snakier and more crafty when they're 11 and 13 and 16. But they're waiting to see if no is going to stay no. If you give a little bit, they know it immediately. And they're going to take advantage of it. It needs to be consistent. You need to stay consistently at it. I've learned that parents, I used to say that, 15 years ago, that I learned that parents of teenagers are more intimidated by their children than they are anything else. And I believe that's true. But I now also think that you have such a clueless bunch of parents. I'm not talking about here so much as I'm talking about in the world, that when a kid turns two, the parent has not the slightest idea what to do. When it's time, when the kid is acting up at Walmart, they have not the slightest clue how to fix it today, tomorrow, or yesterday. Well, I'll tell you what. You need to be consistent. And you need to do it right. Now, you know what the best friend for a Christian is consistency. And by consistency, I mean you should live consistently. Your children need to see you live consistently. That much is true. But I tell you, it's your responsibility to be here consistently. And by consistency, I mean by you consistently coming before God, you give God an opportunity to consistently deal with you. And, I get nervous about people who are flippant about preaching and teaching and their commitment to church, because they're saying, telling God if he wants to speak to him somewhere, he can speak to him somewhere else, but not here. You know what I'm saying? You got to work. I get it. It's no problem. I'm just saying that a child left to himself, a child has to be dealt with consistently. And frankly, God's not going to come chasing you, go chasing you all over the country, wailing on you with a 2x4. If you want to hear from God, if you want to live the Christian life, and you should, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, you need to come here and hear it all the time. No, it's not just a cheap attendance message. And no, there's nothing about tithing to follow. There's one last thing I'd like to say, and when somebody asks me what I think is important about raising kids, I've always told them communication. I was raised by a father. He was a good dad and a hard worker and patient as Job, basically. Not real spiritual, although saved. If there's one thing that I regret, it's the fact that, you know, we really didn't communicate. We really didn't talk. I learned about the birds and the bees by watching birds and bees, because he didn't tell me. You know, I asked him one time, he said, "Well, have you watched the bulls and the cows?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, that's how it happens." "Well, I don't want a calf. I want to know where babies come from." Bulls and cows. So like I said, if there is anything that I regret, it's the fact that really we didn't talk like that. So I promised myself that, you know, when Marcia and I got married, that when we had kids, that I would endeavor to stay in communication with my children, and that they weren't going to have to learn about where babies come from some sex ed film at school. You know what I'm saying? And that, you know, when something was wrong at home, when I was upset with them, that I wasn't going to spend days and days angry with them. I was going to go to their room and talk to them. Communication. But I decided not to use the word communicate. I decided to use the word constrain. We talked about the considerations, the correction, the consistency, and I want to talk for just a minute about the constraint. I chose constraint because everybody knows that a kid needs to be urged and exhorted and encouraged. You know, the positive reinforcement. And constrain covers that. Right? We constrain someone to do right. We constrain them. We urge them. We exhort them. A kid needs that. But constraint also has within it the definition of restraint, too. In other words, it's not just that I'm just positively reinforcing and pushing you onward to do more and do better, but I'm also letting you know that there are some things that are off limits. And so it's not just communication, it's constraint. It's being urged to do the right thing and at the same time to be restrained from doing the wrong thing. And this is well covered in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, just real fast. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I do tell you this. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. That kid is a corrupt pool where he sits. And if you let that stagnant pond continue without your intervention, it just becomes worse and worse. And before it's over, it's more like a sewer than it is anything else. Because that's our nature. That's the way we are. That's what sin did to us from the garden. So a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, notice down in verse 12. So then death worketh in us, but life... No, I'm sorry. Verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. In verse 11. Why? Verse 10, because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. That's the judgment that we all will stand before. It'll not be about salvation, it'll be about our service for the Lord. And he says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory in our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, that is, happy, joyous, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it's for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us. the thing that operated with Paul was the love of Christ constrained. The love of Christ urged him, exhorted him forward to win. But that love of Christ at the same time in its constraint restrained him from doing wrong. And so I just want to say that a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. They need to be constrained. Now you need to talk to them. You need to encourage them. Encourage them to do right. Awake to righteousness and sin not. But at the same time, you live in now a generation that is petrified of being negative, which to me is weird. But they're petrified of telling the kid no, or that's wrong, or that's not right, do it this way. They're petrified. I don't understand the petrification. It's whatever. I don't understand. I grew up being corrected. I grew up getting spanked. I grew up with coaches yelling in my face to do it right. Don't do it that way. Do it this way. You say, what's the point? A child left to himself brings his mother to shame. It's not the same as being a pulling off to be alone, to pray, to fast, to meditate, to make a decision. It's not the same. But being left to oneself, to pull off, to back out, to disengage, and just simmer in your own juices. It's not good for a kid on a practical basis of raising them. It's also not good for a Christian. I tell you what, as a Christian, it's your responsibility to get to a place where the pure water flows through and cleans the spring. And that's what this is about here. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you.